anxious or I lose my place, and I like to look at her and she'll give me a little glance. That usually means you're okay, keep going. Or she's laughing at me, which also means you're okay, keep going. But she's not here today, and I want to share with you the reason. The reason she's not here is kind of bittersweet, but the reason she's not here today is kind of a cool story. She is a lifelong friend that she grew up with since she was like a year old up in northern Michigan. Their mothers were college roommates, so it was inevitable once they came to the same town, they were going to end up growing up together. And they did for a long time until about eighth grade. Her friend Karen, her dad got transferred to Bloomington, so they moved to Bloomington. But she still stayed in contact on vacations and phone calls and stuff. And over the years, they still stayed in contact, mainly by phone. And I'll tell you what, today I'm thankful that we have cell phones with unlimited talk. Because what their story used to be is on their birthday, whosever birthday it was, received a phone call from the other one. They would talk for an hour, hang up, and then the other one would call back. This could go on all night. So those phone bills used to be horrendous, but now they're not so bad. But about 8-10 months ago, Barbie got a call from Karen and with some not so good, so good news. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer and a pretty aggressive variety of it. And right from that point, Barbie, it was in her heart, she wanted to get up there to support her. She just wanted to get up there to be so supportive of her and spend some time with her. But her husband said, you know what, I got this. I'm gonna take care of her. He got some time off from work, and he stayed with her through her treatments and stuff. And I guess it's going pretty well. She's back to work. But it still has been on Barbie's heart ever since then to get up there. But between six grandkids, her job, my job, the drama with my parents, it just never was a time for her to go. So this past Thursday, our alarm goes off at 4:30 in the morning, like it always does. Yeah, our alarm goes off at 4:30. We usually get up at 5. But this morning, I went and I put in our bathroom her suitcase with balloons on it. I got a magic marker, and I put on the mirrors an itinerary. And I surprised her with a last-minute trip to Bloomington. It took 2 months to plan a spontaneous trip, but the look on her face was more than worth it. She goes, I leave today. I said, yeah, you got 2 hours to pack. But what was really cool was, okay, I got to provide her with a blessing so she could be a blessing to somebody else. But then she texted me this morning. And, you know, we got people here that whine about, you know, the church service being at 9:15 rather than 9:30. Well, they go to church at 7:30 in the morning. So she's already been to church. And this was what their scripture lesson was for today. And she shared it with me. It's from Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct others in their spirituality. I thought, wow, that for today, for what I'm doing today, that was awesome. So I got to provide her a blessing so she could be a blessing, and then she returned the favor with a blessing. So with that, let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this people. I thank you for the opportunity to be up here to share what little I have to share with them and hope it makes a difference in their lives. We ask that you look over Dustin as he's given his message up at Indian River, and that you watch over us here as I give a message today. And I hope the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are ever pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so the last time I was up here, we were talking about the chasing of the Holy Spirit. Or as the Celtics put it, chasing of the wild goose. And we talked about how being a follower of Christ should be exciting, it should be fun, it should be adventurous, maybe even a little bit risky. But to get out there and do it. And we talked about the cages that we find ourselves in that keep us from doing that. You know, cages of failure, cages of responsibility, cages of assumption. You know, I'm too old, I'm too young, I can't do things like that. And the sermon through that Lenten service, those different sermons were based on these cages and how to break through them. One interesting thing happened after this series, there was some discussion, which was really good. That means you guys were listening. But people came to some of the other leaders and talked about there being other cages. And we sat at a leaders meeting the other day, and it came up that, you know, for some people, just getting here Sunday is a challenge in itself. And we get that. We understand, you know, that you could have the cage of health, the cage of transportation. There's different reasons that make it tough for you to do those things that we talked about, go on a missions and things like that. But, you know, we ask you to break through those things, because the scary thing is if that challenge gets you to Sunday and you get here on Sunday, and that's a win. Okay, I got here Sunday. That's my win. Is that your only win? Is that your win for the month, for the week? Okay, what's your win on Tuesday? What's your win on Thursday? You know, what else can you have that can be a win in your spiritual growth? Well, how many of you were here for the series we did several years ago called Not a Fan? You guys remember that? A few of you? Wow. Interesting. Okay, well then, some of this might make you a little bit uncomfortable when I explain this, but I'll get through it. The premise of the Not a Fan series was I'm a follower, not a fan. Okay, because in reality, what is a fan? You don't want to just be a fan of Christ. I'm a fan of someone who puts on the jersey, paints their face, and sits in the bleachers and cheers on the team. Okay, we don't want to be that person in the bleachers. You know, we're not going to sit there going, hey, go, God, go, God. We want to be involved. Okay, because these people they're in the stand. They're on the sidelines. They're not on the court. They're not on the track. They're not in the game. Okay, we want to be in the game of being spiritual leaders, of being followers of Christ. So, why do we keep pushing all these things? Why do we keep pushing the Bible studies, the small groups, the community, the mission, being missional in life? It's because right now we're trying to build a flourishing and fruitful church. To have a flourishing and fruitful church, we need flourishing and fruitful partners. We need you. Okay? So how do we get to that point? How do we become flourishing and fruitful? Well, that's going to send us to our Bible lesson, the scripture for today, which is Luke 6, 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay, that's from the NIV version. We're going to do another version called from the Message. You don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin your life with life-giving lives. Giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brims over in true words and deeds. So, we keep talking about flourishing and fruitful. What does it mean to be flourishing and fruitful? Well, flourishing, you know, we kind of talked about that quite a bit. We've talked about, you know, you can tell when a baby is born and it goes through, it's growing, it's early life, it has delta points. You can tell if it's flourishing, if it's growing. You can tell if a garden is flourishing by how it looks. You know, is it vibrant? Is it growing? Is it good and green and colorful? And I was trying to come up with a good way of doing fruitful, but I couldn't find the right words to articulate it. So I started thinking, okay, what would Christ's disciples do if they, you know, weren't exactly sure what Christ was going to say? So I did what they would do. I Googled it. Okay, well, they would if they could. Fruit is a direct result of whatever controls our hearts. That's from Matthew 15:19. The fruit of life, not surrendered to Jesus, which would be the bad fruit, includes sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and many other evil acts. In contrast, the fruit of a spirit of that's given to the Spirit of God, the good fruit, contains, you've heard these before, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, from Galatians. There are many ways for Christians to be fruitful. True fruitfulness begins in the heart with the fruit of the Spirit. That inner fruit affects our outward action. Our words and our activities will glorify the Lord, and God's will be accomplished. God's desire is to transform us into the image of Christ and make us fruitful as he was. So how do we know how we're doing? If we're fruitful and flourishing. Well, if you take this, props time, here's a plant. Now, this isn't abundantly flourishing. It's not abundantly fruitful, but it's pretty good. This is a pretty good representation of where would be, if this was your spiritual life, this would be pretty good, okay? And hopefully this is where most of us are at or we hope to be. By contrast, here's another plant. Now, it's living. It's green. It's really not flourishing, and it's definitely not very fruitful. Okay, I'm sure there's times in our lives we felt like this. Hopefully we feel like this, but we felt like this. Or we know people who are like this. So if we're like this, how do we get like this? Well, since I'm using gardening tips, and I'm an agronomist, most of you, a lot of you know, I'm a golf course superintendent. I spend a lot of time growing plants, growing a lot of grass. So we have tools at our disposal. One of the first things we do is we can go through and take a soil sample. Okay? We take a soil sample and see what's in the base, what's down here, what's the plant growing out of, what's the medium that it has, okay? What helps it get going? And there's, you know, the majors, the N, P, and K, which is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. If you go for, you know, the store and buy a bag of fertilizer, those big three numbers on the front, 12, 0, 12, 15, 0, 15, those are N, P, and K. And there's a lot of other stuff. There's manganese, there's iron, there's calcium, there's magnesium, there's some sodium, which isn't necessarily a good thing. There's copper, there's zinc, there's all kinds of different stuff. Okay? So and a plant needs all those. They need those in different varieties and different balances to get flourishing and fruitful. What about you? What about your spiritual lives? What is your version of the soil? What, you know, what comes out of the soil for you? So if you go take a spiritual soil sample, you look at the things that are in your base. Okay, those are the things, a lot of these things are things the church provides or has for you. We have worship, small groups, Bible studies, community, prayer. There's all kinds of resources here. We have a wonderful library. These are all the things that are at your disposal. These are in your base that you can use to become fruitful and flourishing. Okay? But a plant doesn't always take up everything that's in their soil. So the next step that we would do as an agronomist was we would do a visual assessment and a tissue sample. Visual assessment, you can look at the plant. You know, even this plant doesn't seem to be buggy. There's no worms on it, hopefully. It's not diseased. It is a little bit anemic looking. That's the visual assessment. Then we can take some tissue and run it through an analyzer and find out, okay, what's it putting out? Okay, what's it pulling up and utilizing? You know, so if you're in your case, of all those things that we bring through the church, you know, the worship services, the small groups, all that kind of stuff, what are you utilizing? What's coming out? What is your fruit resulting as it comes out? So I got a little cute with the words. So tissue samples and visual assessment, what's for you would be a soul samples and a self-assessment. Where are you today? Okay, of all these nutrients, of all these things that come through, what is your fruit? Are you giving, do you return having been prayed for? Are you praying for people? Are you saying prayers? Are you giving prayers to God? And it came a thought got to me the other day is, you know, we say a lot of prayers. How many times are those prayers a one-way conversation? It seems like it's always us doing the talking in prayers. How often do you sit and reflect and try to listen for the answer? I think it's a real important thing that we do in life is, you know, we pray, pray for your needs, pray for others, pray for, you know, as you need to. But listen, be in some silence, take some silence time and listen. So what are we trying to get with all this? I started out talking about, the chasing of the wild goose, the, trying to get out and do things exciting and following Christianity. And that's what the goal is, so we can provide a fruitful and flourishing church, that we can be disciples and go out and work, and spread the word of God. One of my very first times I was up here, we talked about having to do that. All these things that we do really great in our church, but we don't really spread the word of God too much in the community. The next time we talked about, I showed us a diagram of how it showed what we need to do. I said, this is great, this is what we need to do. But we didn't talk about how we're doing it. And then we talked about, okay, the next time we're doing this, we are, we're going to develop disciples of you guys. And we have started that program. We did, there's a group of us leaders that did a flourishing church program that we just finished up. The next step is we're going to develop flourishing leaders. Some of you may hear about this because you may be contacted from it. It's not just going to be elders. It's not just going to be deacons. We're going to take people that look like or sound like they are, to a point, flourishing and fruitful in their own lives. And we're going to teach you how to be disciples, how to be leaders, how to help lead others. So if someone taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Please listen if it might be something you're interested in, because I tell you what, it will reward your life. Okay. So again, to tie things up, get out of those cages. This helps you. If you can figure out where you are in your flourishing and fruitful lives. And if you're not sure, if you look at your self-assessment and things don't look balanced, come talk to one of us. Come talk to George. Come talk to Dustin. Come talk to me. Come find one of your elders. Let's find out what there is, because for the most part, all the resources are here for you. And by that note, too, if there's something you find in your soil sample that's missing, it's lacking, that we're not doing, it could be something simple. Let us know. We need to know that, because you might not be the only one missing that thing. Okay? So I did a nice quick message for you today so I can get you out of here early. That wasn't my intention, but that's okay. But again, let's try to get to it so we can get out of our cages. Go chase the wild spirit. Have a great time being followers of Christ. And in the meantime, let's try to figure out what we need to do, or we need to do to help others be flourishing and fruitful in our lives. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for these people. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us as leaders, as followers of Christ, to be able to share the beautiful word of you and your Son. We ask that we can do ourselves a favor by doing ourselves a self-assessment, seeing where we are, see if we're flourishing. And if we are, let's share that. Share that with others. It's been a wonderful journey that this church has been on, and we can hope to continue that journey going. We ask that you watch over us in our new project, our new programs that we're trying to put together to help develop leaders. And we ask the leaders, people come forward and accept the challenge of being a leader to help spread your word, so we're not just fans sitting in the stands cheering you on, that we're in the game doing the things that you need us to do, that we need to do to make this a better world. And I ask that you are with us now as we say that prayer that your Son taught us long ago to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.